I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone, hope you had a great week. It's episode 76 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, we are talking to Michaela Wilkins, who is an expert on using Twitter for your business. All coming up in Internet Marketing. I am speaking to Michaela Wilkins, who is a social VA and Twitter consultant. Hello, Michaela.
Hello, Andy.
Thank you very much for coming on and welcome to the show. Now, I have heard you speak about Twitter. You are a little bit of a Twitter for business expert, aren't you?
I am indeed, yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you do, first of all, generally.
I'm a VA, which is a virtual assistant, whereby I support business owners who don't need a full-time secretary sitting in their office, but will need the services of one on an ad hoc or ongoing basis. So I have my own remote working office whereby I can support a number of people at any one time.
Brilliant. Now tell us how you first got into Twitter, because I'm interested. I'm just wondering if it's anything similar to my story with Twitter.
I tried to avoid it like the plague last year, to be honest with you, Andy. Mm. When I first heard about it from about January 2009, and it was only when somebody sent me an invitation to follow them on Twitter that I thought, okay, I'll have a look. And I've just found out from some Twitter archive file that on Monday I'd been part of Twitter for 365 days. So I've been a fully fledged Twitter user for a year now.
Have you had a party?
Not yet, no.
So now this is interesting. Why were you so reluctant to join? Because you sound like so many people I speak to.
I think in the early days, it was getting so much hype and it's what everyone else was doing. But when I actually joined Twitter myself and put some tweets out there and started to follow some people and then read some interesting excerpts from people like at Mashable and Twitter Tips, I began to realise that this could be an extremely useful part of exchanging information to people and from people outside of normal offline activities that you would normally see at networking. I found over the course of the year that my email usage has dropped considerably, whereby I'm spending more time in conversing with people, clients and potential clients through the use of Twitter.
I'm tempted just to go on and ask you, because having heard you speak, I know that you're jam-packed with information. We'll come on to that in a minute. I'm just interested because you mentioned that you've been using email less. What is the difference between email? What's the main difference, would you say, between the email model and the Twitter model?
I would say for me, probably a good 30% decrease in email activity, purely because if I'm out networking and I speak to people, and then I would follow up by sending a direct message on Twitter if they have a Twitter presence, or through LinkedIn. So coming back to my office and saying, nice to meet you at X, Y, and Z, has decreased drastically to more favourable methods for myself in terms of Twitter and LinkedIn.
Okay, Michaela, give us your top Twitter tips for business.
Okie dokie. Right. For many business who are new to Twitter or have been using it and considering giving it another go, my biggest top tip would be to research and educate yourself, because over the last couple of years, Twitter has expanded enormously to what it was, say, back in 2007, 2008, to the point that there's so much information out there that any particular new Twitter user could easily get lost and feel put off by the massive information out there to get them going. So for somebody that was just thinking of setting up their Twitter account, I would suggest looking at websites such as justtweetit.com, where they've got literally hundreds and hundreds of Twitter apps, Twitter suggestions, and different Twitter activities that you can do that will help you kind of get up and running. But once you've got your account going, it's good to obviously start following some people. Now, the way that I would teach people to follow people is, for me, when I started, was to look at who are the biggest people in Brighton. So for Brighton in the UK, it was Brighton and Hove City Council, or the Dome, that seemed to have the biggest mass followership. So yeah. I kind of looked at people that I knew or recognised and put them into my follow box. But I would seriously suggest that you start following @TweetSmarter. They've just changed from @TwitterTips, and also @SocialMediaToday and @Mashable. Now, they have a great resource, and they have a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week Twitter presence. So you can easily tap into some extremely useful information that you can put into your favorites and kind of look at another time, so that you can absorb the information at your own leisure. As we all know, Twitter is...
So those are some Twitter users you suggest to follow. Was that TweetMaster or TweetFaster?
For me, in my early stages, Andy, not being very new, not being kind of very open to Twitter, yeah, I just sat in Twitter search and just tapped in the kind of things that were of interest to me. Yeah. So once I'd had a couple of hundred people that I was following and then putting a few tweets out there, I'd found that there was some reciprocal followership. So the more interesting stuff that you put out there, the more followers you're going to naturally attract yourself. What happens, I'm finding, is that big companies tend to have keywords suggested in their back office or on their Twitter searches. So, for instance, the other day I was tweeting when it was hot and sunny that I could really do with a Fab Ice Lolly. Yeah. Within seconds, there was a Twitter company called Fab Ice Lolly were following me. So, you know, it's just amazing the random words that you can put out there, the kind of response and followers that you're going to attract back.
The mind boggles. You could put some rude words in and see who starts following you. Now, listen, only this morning I was at a networking event, and I met a chap who said, you know, sort of, we got chatting, and he didn't know much about Twitter. And I did my usual spiel, and I started trying to explain to him how Twitter works. And I found myself saying the thing I normally end up saying to people, sort of, you know, trying to feel very important as if I knew lots and lots about Twitter. And I found myself saying to the guy, well, to start off, sort of, search on stuff that you're interested in and see who's tweeting about it and follow them. Do you think that's good advice? Or bad advice?
It's
you're allowed to say it's bad. Advice. It's okay. It's good advice. Okay, that's good.
Particularly for new people. Let's say, for instance, Chauffeur Monkey has got a Twitter presence, and he approached me seeking some advice about what he should be tweeting. And I said things like, I'm off to visit X, Y, and Z, or I'm walking in the rain, aren't going to attract people that you want. I said, you've got a very, very unique business on Twitter, and that he should be looking at researching material that is pertinent to his business. So I gave him some advice like, look at what the AA are doing, look at drink driving facts, look at some fun stuff that you can incorporate around your whole unique business that you have, and then just tweet that. And his followership has increased immensely purely because of the kind of stuff that he's putting back out there to his followers. It's not just him saying, I'm Chauffeur Monkey, please use me. It's adding some really interesting stuff that is going to be sought after by a number of different people.
Yeah, of course, Chauffeur Monkey, because I know him. He's the guy who basically comes and rescues you when you've had too much to drink and chauffeurs you home in your own car, doesn't he?
Yeah,
cool. Okay, good example. Okay, let's move on, because that's two tips. What's the third tip?
The second tip would be clear about what you want to achieve when you include Twitter as part of your marketing mix. Is it to create awareness of what your business is about? Is it to educate your customers? what they need to know about your industry and how you fit into it, and share knowledge of the service or your trade. For instance, my husband is an electrician, so you know, you can only go so far by saying, I'm a brilliant electrician. So what we do is we look at the electrical industry in terms of safety, and that for us includes fire safety, smoke alarms, CO2. So we can draw from a variety of different industries some relevant information that will be useful for his followers. And also use Twitter for advertising for staff or requesting recommendations. A lot of people tend to put questions out there on Twitter and seek advice.
Crowdsourcing,
And also reward loyalty. Who's used your service through Twitter and how can you further reward them, and what kind of discounts or promotions can you offer to get Twitter users to come back to you? And also ask your Twitter followers to retweet it, because you never know who's in their followership that your service or product may be of great use to their followers as well.
Now, you mentioned that your husband is an electrician. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned about sort of researching things to do with that, like sort of safety and stuff. Does he have a blog? Is he like pointing to entries on his blog and his Twitter and his tweets?
Not yet, but we're going through an education process whereby we kind of look at RSS feeds into a blog so that he can kind of look at people within his industry to share material onto his blog and vice versa, so that, you know, a whole spectrum of other users can be seen through his blog and his tweets at the same time as him being seen through theirs. So it's something that's definitely on the to-do list.
Brilliant.
And it's what Twitter's all about. It's a microblogging facility. So the whole purpose of Twitter is to take excerpts from a blog, create a shortened URL link on Twitter so that people can be directed back to it.
Brilliant. Right, what's the next tip then?
The next tip would be to get yourself a decent Twitter dashboard facility. Now, I'm an avid user of Hootsuite, which is absolutely fabulous and allows me to do a number of things, i.e. to shrink links automatically and to schedule tweets in advance. Now, what I'm finding at the moment is that when there are really useful tweets that are hitting in my Twitter stream, it's normally retweeted by about three or four different people. So I kind of look at it and go, okay, that's not appropriate for me to retweet. So it allows me to perhaps schedule it to be resent a few days later when it's not so fresh in people's minds, but it's been a useful piece of information that could do with a resurgence again three or four or maybe 5 days later.
Interesting. Remind me to talk to you about rescheduling in a minute, but I'm interested in Hootsuite because I actually wanted to talk about Twitter clients, i.e. the programs we use to access Twitter. Yeah, in addition to the normal Twitter website, anyway. I've heard a lot about Hootsuite. I mean, I have been using TweetDeck for quite a long time, and I have to say, I'm kind of going off it a bit. I find it's a bit, it can be a bit slow at times, and sometimes it can't sort of link into Twitter. But I had a look at Hootsuite today, which of course is browser-based, isn't it?
It is indeed,
It reminds me a little bit. I mean, I've only sort of had about an hour's worth of experience with Hootsuite. But it does remind me a little bit of TweetDeck, but through the browser, and a lot sort of snappier to me. It just seems snappier than TweetDeck, so I might switch over to that. But tell us a little bit about Hootsuite. Why? I mean, you mentioned about scheduling, which we'll talk about in a minute, and you mentioned it sounds like it's a bit like TweetDeck in that you can have different streams, and you can have like a search, can't you? A permanent search up.
Yes, you can. Yes. The great thing for Hootsuite for me, Andy, is that I'm a ghost tweeter for a number of clients.
Ah.
So at any one time, I can look at my number of clients that are sitting in front of me. And the beauty of Hootsuite is that if I wanting to put a message out there, then it gives me the options of which account that it needs to come from. Or if there's a generic message that would be better coming from a number of accounts, then I can do that at the same time. But it also gives me access to my mentions, so I can see where my name has been mentioned, and particularly favorites as well. I don't have time to sit and read a big stream of stuff for myself and a number of clients. So what I generally tend to do is flick through, and then there's a lovely little facility that is called favorites. So I'll favoritize them so I can sit and do my research a little bit later on. But if I see something that is of extreme importance, there's a facility on there called email. So I could, if I see something that's of interest for Chauffeur Monkey, or if I see something of interest for at Port Slade Sparky, then I can immediately email them and say, saw this and thought of you, what do you think? So it gives them the opportunity at a later date to hit on a blog link or hit on a web link and look at that particular topic and use it for their will. I sometimes get a message back saying, yeah, that's a great research topic, or I like the look of that, can you retweet it for me?
Yeah, okay. Now, I know you've got loads more tips, so let's go through those first, and then we'll talk about scheduling and success. We'll get my teeth in success stories as well. What's the next tip?
Absolutely. Well, another tip that I really want to kind of talk about is that there are a lot of companies, particularly medium-sized and larger companies, that are really hell-bent on not going down the road of using Twitter, because they seem to think that it's a waste of time, a bit like somebody having their mobile phone on their desk all day, and it's just some kind of, you know, friends fad thing. At a speed networking event that I attended during this week, there were two hotels that both had management whereby, oh no, don't want to use Twitter, it's a bit time consuming, you'll be on it all day, you'll be talking to your friends. Now there's a great YouTube social media video that I really want to recommend, and it's been produced by Socialnomics, and it's called Social Media Revolution, a Refresh, and it's a superb update on how other media activities have taken years to become successful, and that the current social media platforms that we know of, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, have infiltrated our lives in such a short space of time that this will be the way products and services will reach out to people. And the success story of that is I've shared it with a hotel in
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Brighton, within 24 hours of meeting her, and she tweeted me today and said, thanks for the update, we've now got a Twitter account. So excellent. I think she used that piece of information to kind of leverage with her boss and say, look, this is how it's going to be moving forward, and these are the ideas that I have about how I want to use Twitter for our particular hotel. And hey presto, she set up a Twitter account. There's also another guy called Jay Chernoff, and I'll spell that for you.
Hang on a sec. Jay, let me get my notes ready. Jay?
Yep. J-C-H-E-R-N-O-V. And he's produced an exceptionally brilliant ebook PDF called Social Media Player Playbook, Everything Your Company Needs to Succeed on the Social Web. And I highly recommend that you follow this chap and download his copy. It's 42 pages of intense information, but it's so succinct that anyone who wanted to set up a Twitter account, a YouTube account, a LinkedIn account, Facebook fan page account can do so within days.
Could you send us, because the first thing you mentioned, Social Media Revolution and Update, that's a YouTube video, isn't it,
yes. Michaela?
If you could send us a link to that, and we'll put that in the show notes, and also
no
a link
problem.
To Jay Chernoff's ebook, that would be excellent.
Yep. I'll no put those, problem.
I'll attempt to put those in the show notes. Excellent. Okay, brilliant. What else have we got? Sorry, I'm a slave driver, aren't I?
Yeah, I guess
this is good stuff.
Another area that people get confused about is you know what to tweet about, and the golden number one rule of Twitter is never sell or spam, and it's quite interesting to see that self-promotion and spamming ranks very lowly in the whole Twitter graphics. 38% of the Twitter population do what it's but they are supposed to do, and that's kind of engaging conversation and with their followers to create awareness and natural form of awareness so that people will look at their blogs, will look at their posts, will look at their website. So it's good to see that the Twitter population is following the unwritten rule of not spamming or selling. But your post should be a mix of information sharing and a percentage of information about you. For example, attending a trade show that is useful to your trade or industry is much better than saying, I'm just about to have a BLT sandwich for my lunch. It's not the kind of thing that you would text your customer or email on a newsletter. So why would you want to post it on Twitter? And ideally, think about starting to tweet two or three times a day and build up. As you start looking at your RSS feeds, as you start looking at interesting blogs and information, you'll start to find that your percentage of retweeting for other people increases. So you need to be consistent about, you know, kind of having a Twitter presence. And this is where the scheduling comes in, which we'll talk about a bit later on.
Yeah.
But also what I found interesting is create a circle of tweet trust. I have a number of people that will automatically and quite naturally retweet some interesting stuff for me. I have about three or four people that will do that on a regular basis throughout the week. And in turn, as part of my circle of trust, I will retweet their information as well. So if you think, if I've got 800 followers and another member of my circle of trust has got 1,000 followers that don't infringe on my followership, you kind of think about, you know, Chinese whispers, the fact that my post or my information has got another 1,000 people that it can go to. And if you've got 4 or 5 people in that circle of trust, then it could be quite potentially viral and explosive about where your information ends up.
Mikala, what do you think about people that advocate these kind of semi-artificial ways of getting more followers? Do you think this should be a natural sort of organic process, or do you think it's okay to use sort of artificial quote-unquote ways?
I don't agree with artificial ways of attracting followerships. And I have to say that there are a couple of people that have been on my followership that have spammed that 3 or 4 times a day. And after a while, I just think you're adding no value to my Twitter stream. So therefore, I will have to kind of unfollow them. So yeah, I think it should be organic, because in the same way as building a relationship offline, you wouldn't knock on their door every day, you wouldn't phone them every day. You have to let these things build naturally and organically. So, and I personally believe that Twitter should be the same.
And what about sort of auto follow back? Are you into that, or do you think you should only follow who is relevant to you?
I follow the route of auto follow, and I've been quite picky about the kind of people that I want to follow and want to follow me back. So I have to say, I started off using social oomph and put an auto-follow message. And I have to say, I've relinquished that and removed it totally. I prefer to build a relationship with someone on my own back. And not only that, but when you've got some of these kind of porn and sex sites that just kind of, you know, that are bots, I don't want an auto message saying, hi, hello, thanks for following me, and I'm following you, look forward to your tweets, because at the end of the day, that's not the correct message that I want to give. So if I see someone that's, you know, plonked themselves in my Twitter stream and it's not really the kind of caliber or the message that I want to give to my followership, then I just won't naturally reciprocate the followership. So for some, an auto-follow is great, and I think probably for big corporates it may well work, whereby you need to have some kind of presence. But I think for small businesses, it's something that if you've got the time at the end of the day or the end of the week, that you can send a nice direct message back saying thank you. And you can use that creatively about giving some useful information about your business that kind of gives a gentle tease or a gentle lure back to your website.
Yeah. Right, we need to start wrapping it up fairly soon. Can we just talk about scheduling? Because I found that
we
quite interesting.
Certainly can.
I have been playing with su.pr. I don't know if you've heard of that one. It's a new URL shortener. and it's from StumbleUpon, hence the SU.
Yes.
And that integrates with Twitter. It lets you push a tweet straight into Twitter, but it shortens any URLs you've put in with the SU / .PR / whatever. Mm-hmm. And it lets you track them. But it also lets you, it's the first time I've played with scheduling. Cause I know that Hootsuite lets you schedule, doesn't it, for later?
It does indeed.
And SU.PR does as well, although it's quite a sort of raw interface at the moment. They're still sort of developing. I think it's in beta still. But it was very good because I've just launched my own podcast and I thought, okay, let's try an experiment. It was late last night, so I knew that America would still be awake. I know in America it was like sort of late morning, sort of lunchtime. Mm. So I pushed a couple of tweets out pointing to a couple of the podcast episodes that I've done. And I couldn't believe it. It was getting several, 10 or 15 or 20 hits, clicks just in the first literally a couple of seconds after having put it up. But the thing that really interested me was like pushing it out later, and I pushed one out that went out at 7:45 this morning. I was actually up, but it tweeted anyway. But I just think it's fascinating because this whole idea that the success of tweets can depend on what time of day you push them out.
Absolutely.
Depending on what market you're going for. So if you are going for the American market, some people say, oh, sort of Friday afternoon because it's sort of morning over in America and it's a Friday. Yep. So people are a bit more inclined to be looking at Twitter. I mean, how have you been using scheduling? Sorry, that's a bit of a long question, wasn't it?
No, absolutely. Perfectly questioned as well. As I've already stated, I'm an avid user of Hootsuite and I love the scheduling that takes place in Hootsuite. For example, if I want to put a post, There's a lovely little drop-down calendar that allows me to pick a date and pick a time. So very much like you, Andy, I will think about my audience, and I'm well aware that Thursdays and Fridays are kind of peak tweeting days for both Europe and America. But what also happens is that for me, if I want to put my own message out there about myself as a VA, I can schedule tweets for, weeks ahead of time. So if I want to put, let's say, for instance, I've scheduled a couple to go out next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Mm. So what will happen is when those messages have gone out next Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I've got a stream that shows me the messages that I've put out there, and then there's a facility on there that allows me to retweet them, so then I can reschedule. So instead of reinventing the wheel, I just reschedule my tweets.
Do you think it's okay though, Michaela? I mean, because the whole thing about social media, because I mean, I love the idea of scheduling, but the thing that worries me about it is it's not being authentic. We're not really there. It's kind of a bot that's doing it. You know, I'd be worried that I did a scheduled tweet for, I don't know, sort of 4 o'clock in the morning or something, and it went out, and then someone phoned me up and went, oh, he's in bed. You know, it wasn't really him.
Yeah, I totally agree, Andy. And again, it's all part of the creativity and scheduling of what you want to achieve. Mm. For me, they're marketing messages. I'm very much of the here and now, and a lot of my tweets are streams of consciousness or whatever's going through my thought process at the time, and that's something that you can't schedule. But in terms of a specific message that you want to repeat over a small period of time, then I feel that it's something that you can retweet a couple of times. And going back to what you've just said, because of the different time zones, I've been reading a lot of kind of Twitter tip stuff at the moment, and there's been a lot of kind of conversation about what's right and what's wrong. And in the main, a lot of people are saying it's okay to kind of retweet two or three times. And then what I generally tend to do within my circle of trust, if I see that it's been retweeted two or three times in close succession of one another, that's when I'm able to kind of take some really juicy piece of information and perhaps retweet it for a week later. When the furor's died down, the rush has died down, Twitter streams have probably, have got different information filtering in through their streams the following week, and it might be a nice refresh for someone to have something retweeted back again.
It's such a real-time thing, isn't it, Twitter? I mean, when you use these link shorteners and you see the cluster of clicks that you get. I mean, it really does spike immediately after you've put it on, and then it trails off very quickly, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So I quite like this idea of like tweeting it again, perhaps 24 hours later, presumably with a slightly different message. You don't want it to be exactly, I'm guessing you don't want it to be exactly the same.
You don't want it to be the same message,
yeah.
No.
I mean, I've seen people tweeting about the same blog post, but they've actually got a slightly different wording, but perhaps they might be sort of picking out a slightly different aspect of the blog post in the second tweet or second and third tweet. But that's fine with me. It doesn't bother me a scrap, and I think that's a very good way of operating myself.
Definitely, yeah. And the beauty of Hootsuite, Andy, on rescheduling is because it uses its own shortening facility within Hootsuite. It's fully integratable with Google Analytics. So you can look in Hootsuite on your dashboard and look at the kind of clicks and response that you've had from those links that you've posted into Hootsuite.
Oh, okay. Does it use the Google shortener, or is it someone else's? Is it its own? Or
it's its own.
Okay.
Bitly and Owly. I think they tend to use Owly.
Okay. It goes well with Hootsuite, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
Right, we better wrap up fairly soon. Have you got any success stories you can tell us, Twitter success stories?
For me, Andy, yes. I've found that over the last year of using Twitter, It's allowed me to develop my own business in a way. For instance, it's enabled me to develop more as a social VA in terms of giving Twitter support to my clients and allowing me to use the self-learned knowledge that I've got to integrate it in their businesses, particularly small businesses that are out working all day but would like some alternative method of having a presence online. Also, it's benefited me in terms of it's given me speaking opportunities at local networking events in the business community that I operate in. And because I do spend a lot of time on Twitter, it's enabled me to win business for my clients. It's been that powerful both for myself and for the clients that I support on online social media activity. And it's also enabled me to meet people or connect with people that I wouldn't have an opportunity to connect with in offline activity, purely because of the logistics of where they are, and not having an opportunity to network with them at a more local level, but being able to connect with a variety of different people until such point as, I can connect with them on Twitter, so much so that they're now part of my circle of trust. So for me, it's a huge win-win in striking out and reaching people that are, you know, kind of personal to me for my business, offline and offline. So, yes. It works. It's a powerful tool.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us this lowdown on how you use Twitter. Where can people find you online, Michaela?
My website is www.alacimassociates, and that's alacimassociates.co.uk. My name is Michaela Wilkins, and Alacim is in fact just my name backwards, so an easy correlation.
Yes, yes.
And also, I'm also on Twitter as Alacimass, Alacimass.
And I'll just point out to our listeners that ASS stands for associates there.
Absolutely, not my part.
Michaela Wilkins, social VA and Twitter consultant, thank you very, very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.